Greg Laurie and Harvest Ministries recommend the best-selling book, Cold Case Christianity, from former detective J. Warner Wallace.
That's a book we're offering this month to our listeners, Cold Case Christianity, written by Detective J. Warner Wallace. A homicide detective investigates the claims of the gospel. So get your own copy of Cold Case Christianity. It's our offer for this month for your gift of any size.
Request yours for a limited time at harvest.org.
Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I one day will receive a new body. Death does not have the final say. Easter has the final say. Our bodies will no longer age or get sickness or break down.
Some wonder about the practical impact of Easter on our lives. Coming up on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the miracles surrounding the Lord rising from the dead.
Because of Jesus' resurrection, our new glorified bodies will be much like His.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
We're all used to seeing before and after pictures. Before the diet, after the diet. Before the haircut, after the haircut. Crinkled up fender, uncrinkled up fender. Well, we're all living the before picture with our earthly bodies. We don't know exactly what the after picture will look like, but it's clear it'll blow our minds. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us get a glimpse of how the Lord's resurrection paves the way for a glorified body. No crinkles.
So I heard a story about a woman who was headed to church on Easter morning, and her car broke down unexpectedly. So she called an Uber. He picked her up. She jumped in the back seat. They're on the way to church, and she had a question. She asked him. He didn't answer. So she tapped him on the shoulder. He hit the brakes, swerved across two lanes, and went up the shoulder of the road. They were just sitting there in stunned silence. And the lady said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I didn't think you would react that way from tapping you on the shoulder." He said, "Ma'am, it's okay. It's actually my fault. This is my first day as an Uber driver. I've been driving a hearse for the last 25 years. He didn't expect a person who supposedly was dead to be alive. And that's how the disciples felt 2,000 years ago. The last thing they expected is for Jesus to be alive again. That's a topic we usually don't like to talk about. Death, it makes people uncomfortable. The Bible even talks about those who are slaves to the fear of dying. I read an interview that was conducted with William Shatner, who was the original Captain Kirk in the Star Trek series. And he made this statement, and I quote, "I'm so not ready to die. It petrifies me. I go alone. I go to a place I don't know. It might be painful. It might be the end. My thought is, it is the end. I become nameless, and I spent a lifetime being known," end quote. Yeah, death is the fear of the unknown. I've told you before about an inscription on a tombstone in England that said this, "Pause now, stranger, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. So prepare for death and follow me." Someone reading that inscription was overheard to say, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." See, I determine in this life where I will spend the afterlife. It's entirely up to me. But because Jesus died and rose again as a Christian, I don't have to be afraid to die. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." But you know, as you get older, it seems like time goes by more quickly. Have you noticed that? I found one way to slow down time, by the way. Go to the dentist. I got a teeth cleaning not too long ago. It lasts about an hour. It felt like a year. She does a great job. I just don't like to go to the dentist. And if they use the word root canal. Now it feels like 10 years in that chair. And then the funny thing about my generation, the baby boomers, is we were the first real youth generation. We celebrated our youth. We had our own song, Forever Young. But now, of course, things have changed. We've gone from acid rock to acid reflux. Just, and nothing is sadder when someone is older, still trying to appear to be younger. Nothing is more pathetic than a person who is 66 shopping at Forever 21. It's not allowed. Sorry, ma'am, you can't come in here. I was at the market the other day and it said Senior Discount Tuesday. Well, I'm always in for a discount. 20%, not bad. So I said, you know, how old do you have to be a senior? And the lady said, you need to be 62 years old. I said, well, I qualify. And what bugged me is she didn't argue with me. She's just, you look like you're 92. Why don't you go, do you need a walker, sir? Yeah, so time is passing by quickly and people think they can turn the clock back. Well, if I just eat in a certain way, well, that's fine. You know, I eat tofu and I eat kale. In fact, I have a Prius made out of kale that runs on tofu. This is the cutting edge technology. But then you hear the crazy story about someone that lived really long, like a lady named Pearl Cantrell, real person, 105 years old from Texas. And they said, Pearl, what is your secret to longevity? This is her actual answer. She says, bacon. I eat bacon every day. But it has to be extra crispy. I like Pearl Cantrell. I've decided I'm going to follow her example. I was with my granddaughter, Allie, a little while ago, and she said, I'm a vegan now, Papa. She said this while she was eating bacon and eggs. I said, honey, I don't think you can be a vegan and eat bacon. She said, I just love the meat that comes from the pig. I said, I understand that. I do too. But, you know, we may try to prolong our lives and maybe we'll have some success to a certain degree, but life comes to an end and then we enter that afterlife. But because Jesus died and rose, he rendered death powerless. For the believer, death is not the end. Yes, our bodies will go into the ground, but our soul lives on in the presence of God. But I want us for a few moments to go back in our imaginations to the first century and try to put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals of those disciples so you can sort of feel what they felt. They were not expecting Jesus to rise again from the dead. These men had dedicated their lives to following Christ. It was their hope and it was their expectation, as a matter of fact, that he would establish his kingdom then and there and drive out the Romans and that they would rule their own nation again. But that was never part of God's plan. It was always part of God's plan to send the Messiah, yes, but not to be a conquering king. That comes later at the second coming, but rather to be a suffering savior. In fact, God spoke about it way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 22. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord threw down the gauntlet. And he said to the devil, there's coming one that's going to crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. The battle lines were drawn. The Lord was saying, the Messiah is coming and he will crush you, but you will bruise his heel. And certainly that's what happened to Jesus. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities and the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And that's exactly what Jesus was coming to do. But the disciples seemed to miss this. They thought he was going to be the conquering king. And then they saw him hanging on that cross and they were devastated. They never thought that man would be alive again. And it's no wonder he was beaten beyond human recognition. His body was so traumatized that you couldn't even tell he was a man, according to Isaiah chapter 53. Certainly that man would never live again. But of course he would, because that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. But they were disappointed. But then all of a sudden, the word goes out. Jesus is alive. The lady saw him first, Mary Magdalene, first at the tomb early Easter Sunday morning. She meets the risen Lord. Now he's making appearances. He shows up in the upper room with the disciples. He appears to 500 people at the same time. And the word is spreading. And we read that they were very frightened and filled with great joy. Have you ever experienced fear and joy simultaneously? Maybe on your wedding day. Fear and great joy. Like, I'm excited, but what's going to happen? Or maybe at the birth of your first child. Or when you bought your first home. Or when you got on that last roller coaster. Fear and great joy. That's what they were experiencing. But they were seeing the risen Lord. And he appeared to two of them on the Emmaus Road incognito. In other words, they were walking with Jesus and they didn't know it was Jesus. He starts a conversation. Let me paraphrase. Why the long faces, guys? What's up? Oh, haven't you heard the things about Jesus? No, tell me, says Jesus. And now they're telling Jesus about Jesus. I was in the Sunglass Hut a while ago, and I was trying on different frames, and the girl says to me, has anyone ever told you you sound just like Greg Laurie? I said, yeah, I've heard that before. I said, you know, I met him, and she said, really? What's he like? I said, he's a total jerk. Really? She was really interested. Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't like him at all. And then she starts defending me. No, I listened to him on the radio. I like him. Yeah, but I've met him. I don't think you would really like him. No, I like. She's defending me to me. Then I told her, actually, I am Greg Laurie. And she thought, what? You are a jerk, aren't you? Is this? I confirmed her worst suspicions. Well, Jesus was a lot more polite than I was in a way. He revealed himself to his disciples.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everyone, I want you to know about our app called Harvest Plus. Think of it as a harvest version of Netflix. We have all of our resources in one place. We have our movies like Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, Johnny Cash, Redemption of an American Icon, A Rush of Hope, and much more. Then we have our television program, Daily Devotions, and much more. So go and download the Harvest Plus app.
Well, glad you're along for an important Easter message today. Pastor Greg has titled it, Death Died When Christ Rose.
And now we come to John 21. This is another post-resurrection appearance. And I'm going to read verses 3 to 14 from the New Living Translation. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. And they went out of the boat and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, boys, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved, that would be John the Apostle, by the way, he said, it's the Lord. When Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. There was fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. And Jesus said, come and have some breakfast. I love that. Is this not a beautiful scene? Can you imagine for a moment? You're coming in from an unsuccessful fishing trip. And there is the risen Lord. The holes in his hands. And yet he made breakfast. I don't think he just spoke it into existence. Eggs Benedict, blueberry pancake, boom, there it is. He made it. He built the fire. He cooked the meal, giving it to them. I love breakfast. How many of you like breakfast? Raise your hand. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. Second only to lunch and dinner. But some people don't eat breakfast. My wife doesn't eat breakfast. I don't get that. First thing I think of when I wake up in the morning is food. And I love to wake up to the smell of coffee and bacon, right? And So here they are seeing this beautiful breakfast prepared by the Lord. So what does this mean to us? Answer, a lot. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I will one day receive a new body. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I one day will receive a new body. Death does not have the final say, even over our body. Easter has the final say. Jesus coming out of that tomb is a preview of things to come for us, because we too will one day be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15 says, the truth is Christ has been raised up, the first on a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those with him at his coming. Now know this, when Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a real body. It was his body that had been crucified, but glorified in a different way. And that is a prototype of what is coming for us as well. Point number two, because of Jesus' resurrection, our new glorified bodies will be much like his. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we're the children of God. It does not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. So we will be like him. What do we know about the resurrection body of Jesus? Number one, he was recognizable. Number two, it did not have the normal limitations of a human body. He could appear and disappear at will. And thirdly, he ate food. Here he's making them breakfast. And that is a reminder that we in our new bodies will eat. And I love the fact that we're going to still eat in the afterlife, don't you? Maybe we'll all be fat and we won't care. In fact, if you're skinny, we'll judge you for being skinny, right? I don't know, but we know that we will eat in the afterlife, because Matthew 8:11 says, I say to you, they'll come from the east and the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible speaks of the wedding feast or the wedding supper of the Lamb. Imagine sitting at a table with loved ones that have preceded you to heaven and being reunited with them again. Imagine sitting at a table with the great patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible, turning to Moses and saying, Moses, could you pass the manna? Or Elijah, my meat's a little underdone. Could you give it a little more fire? Or turning to Lot and saying, could you pass the salt, Lot? What, you're not over that yet? But imagine being able to ask David what it was like to defeat Goliath. Ask Noah what it was like to be in that ark. Ask Moses what it was like to part the Red Sea. Ask John what it was like to receive the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. Or ask Mary what it was like to carry the Son of God in her womb and later in her heart. Sometimes people ask, will we recognize one another in heaven? The answer is yes. You're going to know more in heaven than you know on earth. You won't be more stupid in heaven than you are on earth. And so, yes, you will recognize one another. The Bible says we will know fully even as we are known. Thirdly, because of Jesus' resurrection, our bodies will no longer age or get sickness or break down. Now, you might be young and you might say, I'm pretty happy with my body right now. I was with my granddaughters, Stella and Lucy, a while back, and they said, Papa, how old will we be when we're in heaven? I said, I really don't know. And Lucy said, my granddaughter Lucy said, I want to be 3. I said, you want to be 3 in heaven? Yeah, 3. I said, why do you want to be 3? She said, I miss the old me. Great line. I don't know how old we'll be, but we'll have none of the limitations of the human body, none of the disabilities, none of the sicknesses. Did you know that your brain starts breaking down at the age of 20? Experts say as we get older, the number of nerve cells in the brain decrease. We start out with 100 billion, but in our 20s, the number starts to decline. By 40, we could be losing up to 10,000 nerve cells to the brain per day, affecting memory, coordination, and brain function. You've probably lost 5,000 brain cells just listening to me today. And we're just getting started. But all of that will be restored one day If you're disabled on earth, you won't be in heaven. If you have cancer on earth, you won't have it in heaven. It's such a wonderful thing. And here's number four. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we will have resurrected relationships. We'll be reunited with loved ones that have preceded us. It's almost as though Jesus picked up where he left off. He left them suddenly. He left them violently. And now he's back. He's back. He's appearing here. He's appearing there. It's just as though he never left at all. Even in the way he says to those disciples, hey, come and have breakfast, guys. I'm just waiting for you. Your food's getting cold. Let's go. Oh, it's just like he never left. There's one account where it says that two disciples are walking along and they saw Jesus and he just said, greetings. And it's actually a very common phrase used in that day for like, hello, how you doing? I mean, if I were Jesus and someone saw me for the first time after I rose, I would have said something like, ta-da! He's like, greetings. You know, we have different ways we greet each other. In the South, they say, hey, hey, how y'all doing? Over in Maui and the islands, they say, how's it? How's it, brah? If you're in Philadelphia, they say, yo. And if you're Adrian, yo, Adrian. Australia, you say, good, eh? In New York, they don't say anything to you. They just assault you now. It's a New York greeting. But it was very common, just like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Very casual, picking up where they last left off, and we will do that as well.
Pastor Greg Laurie with some encouraging insights about what life will be like in eternity. And Pastor Greg will have more to come as this study continues here on A New Beginning. The reality of eternity can give us a lot of hope when we feel mired in the problems of today. Are you sure of your eternal future? Do you know you're going to heaven? Pastor Greg, anybody who isn't sure can take care of that today, can't they? It's an invitation open to everyone.
That's right. The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So think of it this way. Maybe you're out in a riptide in the ocean and you can't get your footing and you're in trouble and you see a lifeguard. Call out for help and the lifeguard will rescue you. The same is true spiritually. You're drowning in your sin. You need help. Jesus will save you. He will rescue you, but you must call out to him. And you know how you do that? You do it in prayer. So let me just lead you in a simple prayer. And you can pray this prayer after me. You can pray it out loud if you like. And this is where you are calling out to Jesus to save you. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Now, Lord, I turn from my sin and I put my faith in you. Be my Savior, my Lord, be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that Christ himself has come to live inside of you. And I have a resource I want to send you. It's called the New Believer's Bible. So the New Believer's Bible is the New Testament in the New Living Translation with hundreds of notes that I wrote that will encourage you in this commitment you are making to follow Christ. There's some other materials included as well in what we call the New Believer's Growth Pack. But let me get this New Believer's Bible into your hands as quickly as possible. Here's Dave to tell you more.
Yeah, we'll be glad to send it all your way free of any charge if you've prayed along with Pastor Greg today. Just ask for the New Believer's Bible when you call 1-800-821-3300. You can reach us anytime 24/7 at 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. And then let us say a word of thanks to those who support us financially, those who make it possible for us to bring you these studies each day. We're definitely a listener-supported ministry. It's the generosity of listeners that help us be here with these programs. So if you've partnered with us, thank you. And if you have yet to partner with us, well, I hope you'll get in touch today and let us know that you're standing with us. Even a small investment would help. It's actually an investment in changing lives. Thank you for partnering with us. You can donate securely online at harvest.org or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. Again, that's 1-800-821-3300. Well, next time, Pastor Greg reminds us Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. More insight to help us prepare our hearts for Easter. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.